Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. We'll be here for the next 20 minutes. Ed, folks want to join us on the internet, how can they do that?
Well, if they want to watch the live video stream, you can do that, folks. There are three ways for you to access that video stream. One is to go to Facebook. Another is to go to YouTube and search for Today's Issues. On YouTube, it's Today's Issues Live. Or you can go to our own streaming platform, streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net. Very quick and easy to sign up for an account there, and you can watch not only the live video stream for this program, but many other programs on American Family Radio.
Steve Paisley-Jordahl joins us now. Wesley Wildman in studio as well. So, Ed, Wesley, Steve, and yours truly. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody. How y'all doing?
How you doing?
Good.
No, I asked first.
Yes, you did.
I'm doing well. Yeah. I'm doing well. It's a good day here in Mississippi.
Off to 2024, off to a good start for you, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, my wife is a little bit of a night owl, right? We tend to stay up a little later. So last night we had been too many nights in a row, so we turned in about 10 o'clock. You know that great feeling when you wake up in the middle of the night and you look at your clock, and it's midnight, and you still have, like, 5 hours left to sleep. It's, like, the best feeling in the world.
Oh, yeah. So, well, only if you can go back to sleep is that the best feeling in the world.
It's true.
Now, I got a question before we get too serious here.
Yeah.
Could we get real serious here?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Have you added any Paisley shirts for 2024?
I don't think I added a Paisley tie. Actually, a listener gave me a Paisley tie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. No, nothing specifically Paisley, but I am adding to the shirt collection.
Okay, fair enough.
I am adding to the shirt collection.
I like it.
Yeah. So, hey, folks, we've got a culture of young people right now who are very well too concerned about identity, about what they call themselves. About what you call them.
And what other people call them.
It is a little bit out of control. I have to say, I'm glad I'm not 20 years old and looking to date, because I wouldn't know what to do with this woman. Listen to Cody from Cut 10.
Hi there. I'm Cody. Pronouns E-M, Airs, or Z-Zem, Zer-Zers, or really any neo-pronouns that aren't Z-Her-Her. I am a white, transmasculine, femme, non-binary, temporarily, mostly able-bodied, neurodivergent, obsessive, compulsive, chronically ill, culturally Jewish, Unitarian Universalist, non-monogamous, demi-low romantic, gray demi-bisexual, survivor of acute and complex trauma, millennial, and cat parent in mental health recovery. My identities are fluid and ever-changing and don't like boundaries.
And that was all in one breath, by the way.
Is that real?
Yeah. That's not a spoof. I can deduce that. Is deduce the correct word?
I knew what you meant. Not sure if it's a correct word, but I know what you mean.
What do you deduce?
Deduct?
Deduct, yeah.
Okay, simplify. She used a lot of words to say this. I messed up in the head. She could have just said, I'm messed up in the head big time. I think that would have worked for everybody right there.
You'd get the picture.
Yeah.
That's a big picture explanation. And she even mentioned the product of trauma.
Trauma, yeah.
And so, listen, I don't know what's happened. I know nothing about that. I'm just going to tell you, from that description and from the sound of the voice, I don't know if that's actually a boy or a girl.
Yes, sir.
In reality.
It was a girl.
It's a girl. Okay.
Name Cody.
All right. Okay. Name.
Yeah.
Well, Cody. Who knows what she was named.
So I'm just going to say, it sounds to me like that poor girl. That's heartbreaking to me.
It is.
It's frustrating because they expect everyone to play along with that. People like Cody.
It's good if you use they pronoun, though.
That's good. Well, I'm expanding it beyond this individual. But that's heartbreaking because something did happen to that girl that has messed her up.
I can't imagine being a young person, not just dating, but just having to navigate school and friendships and meeting new people and having all of this out in front of you and you can misstep at every possible locate, you know, moment to say, oh, don't call me that.
And that's why there was a it's been a couple years, but there was a poll that were for middle school students, middle and high school students. And the middle school and high school students just a couple years back in the polling said that they were basically fed up with having to keep up with that type of cultural transformation.
Yeah.
That they were – that's why – now, obviously, at that age, they're not uber conservative. But statistically, they're more conservative at that point in their age than any other generation that, that's been documented because of the inconsistency and the stress – to have to keep up with what all that person just said.
Yeah, and you know what's strange about that is to what you're talking about, Wesley, it's not like a kid in an inner city school who says, you know what, I like country music. And everyone else goes, oh, okay, oh, yeah. Well, that's cool. All right, sure. Whatever. Whatever floats your
right,
boat.
Sure.
No, these folks in the trans and the rest of the LGBTQ plus community, they demand.
That's right.
Obedience.
That's right.
To what? So the stress you're talking about of saying, oh, I'm sorry, I messed up. I don't want to get the tension.
Yeah. It's you're not spending like, your day trying to figure out how to walk around eggshells of this type of movement that you're getting from the LGBTQ plus community. And this is also a reflection to go further of the going along with, for lack of a better word, of this type of behavior and this type, because the entertainment, media, even education are going along with it. You're seeing this in the bills, the bathroom bills. You're seeing this in the sports, biological men and women's sports. You're seeing this going along with. Now, you've got your pushbacks for sure. You got groups like us. You have individuals that are pushing back. When we're doing our part, we're making some ground. But in a lot of cases, you're seeing a lot of going along with.
Yeah.
And you're going to get more of this if you incentivize it. And you don't say
I don't understand why they care. Well, maybe I do, but why they care so much what I think about them. This young
good
lady, if she were to meet me and know a little bit about me, I'm sure I would be fascist, I'd be racist, I'd be homophobic, I'd be all these things. And I'd look at her and I'd shrug my shoulders and say, I really don't care what you think about me. You're welcome to your opinion. Let's move on.
Opinion, yeah.
But no, they have to. Oh man, it's like they. Yeah. It's violence.
Well, you see the videos of some of these folks. I don't have an Instagram account, but I'll see it on Twitter X, and they post it, and they're just breaking down in tears, sobbing because they were quote unquote misgendered.
Yeah.
You know, it's a really bizarre moment for America. I don't know how. How this is going to end, it looks like it's going to end badly, though.
Yeah.
For somebody.
For anybody who's asking, my pronouns are His Majesty and His Highness. Royal Highness. That's what anybody who needs to use neo-pronouns can use those for me.
I'm going to try that at home, Steve.
There you go. Steve said, and you can quote. Make sure you get the quotations right, though.
I'm going to tell Diane.
Tribute to
you when you talk about me. I want His Majesty to precede whatever it is you got. And she will reply, "Well, Your Majesty, enjoy the couch tonight."
And it would.
Yes. Anyway.
Oh, man.
All right.
Next story, Steve.
From the sublime to the ridiculous to the more sublime. Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont is demanding that his congressional colleagues reject a $10 billion military funding for Israel bill that's being considered, calling the war grossly disproportionate and immoral, the war against the Hamas terrorists. He says that it's disproportionate. Here's my question. We talk about a proportional response sometimes with conflicts. In other words, when Iran bombed some military bases in Saudi Arabia that were American military bases, wherever they were, Syria, do we go and like declare war and send nuclear bombs over? No, a proportional response is we take out a couple of theirs and just to let them know that we're there. But this is not what's going on in Israel. Israel's fighting for its survival. And to say that it has to be a proportional response, they only killed 200 Israelis, so you really got to stop at about 200, 250,
right.
Well, you know, because otherwise it's not proportional.
Israel can't listen to that, and that's ridiculous.
Right.
1,200, I think 1,200 Israelis were slaughtered on that day, October the 6th?
7th.
7th. And when you have a military response to terrorism like that, you have to be overwhelming. And what Israel is having to do, and war is, as I've said before, war is hell, and it's awful, and innocent people are killed. They're, by innocent, I mean non-combatants. In Gaza, yeah, they're being killed. They are, as a result of the bombing that Israel's doing. Unfortunately, that happens in war. But Israel, looking at the big picture, has to take out Hamas, which is trying to eliminate the Jews from Israel. Eliminate, kill them from the river to the sea.
Right.
So this is, Ed, you use the expression sometimes, zero-sum game.
Yeah.
There's going to be a winner and there's going to be a loser, and Israel's not going to lose. And that's what they're saying. So we, Israel, basically will take the criticisms that are going to come our way. And listen, the UN's always been against Israel. And basically the international community, so to speak, has always been against Israel. The reason is there are many more Arab countries than there are Israel, just one Jewish nation. So.
Right.
You got all those Arab countries in Northern Africa and in the Middle East that, they persuade people like, you know, Russia and China and other countries to vote against Israel in the United Nations. Really, in the United Nations, which, by the way, we should probably get out of, it's anti-American too. But usually standing with Israel is the U.S., and maybe Great Britain, and that's about it, typically, on issues. So, Israel has to do what Israel has to do to defend their country and to because their survival is at stake. You know, so their very survival is at stake, and they have to get rid of the Hamas organization's ability to attack them militarily or with weapons. That's what they're trying to do. They're not going to be able to get rid of the "we hate Jews" philosophy.
Right.
No, no.
That's just an ideology. It's hard to crush. But anyway, our
and
next
not,
story, Steve.
Okay. Yeah, let's go on. There's a group in Texas, a nonprofit called True the Vote, and their purpose in
life.
True dat. True dat vote. Their purpose in life is to make sure that elections are fair and that the right votes are counted. They're the people that want, or a group that wants to clean up the voter rolls so that you don't have thousands and thousands of people that could vote illegally because they're still on the roll in some one county when they live in a different one. Anyway, they were sued. They went into to Georgia and demanded and asked that the state clean up its voter rolls. And they, in fact, brought 250,000 voters that they found that were still registered in one place but lived in a different place. So the law there says that if you do that, the state has to look at these and cull the voter rolls if possible. Well, Stacey Abrams' group sued. Fair Fight Action was her group, and she sued True the Vote, saying that it had illegally intimidated these voters. Well, a judge stepped in. This is Judge Stephen Jones stepped in and said, no, there was no intimidation going on. There were no names. There were names, but there were no names being made public, and no one contacted these people. It was public records. It said they moved, and so they've won a voter intimidation case.
By the way, this U.S. District Judge Steve Jones was an appointee of President Barack Obama.
Was he?
Yeah. Hey, you know, Wesley, let me ask you this. So it's always stunning to me how the left makes these kinds of arguments to I would think that everyone, people, conservatives, liberals, whatever, would all agree that voter rolls should be kept up to date.
Sure.
Dead people should be removed.
That's right.
When somebody moves, their new address, they should be identified with their new address.
Right.
Their old, the name with go with the old address needs to be purged.
They can't be in there multiple times.
Can't
if you
be,
have two,
right.
two addresses.
Can't be in there multiple times. So how in the world or why do you think Stacey Abrams' group would consider that voter intimidation and not be in favor of making sure? Because conservatives might be on there twice, too. I mean, it seems like it would help everybody if the voter rolls were accurate.
Well, historically, these types of efforts go against the outcome of or hurt the Democrats more than it helps the Republicans or hurts the Republicans. That's my opinion. I can't, you know, there's, you know, I want to be careful what I say because I don't want to, I don't have a lot of hard evidence for that. But
right.
it seems to me, why else would you do it if you didn't think that there was some benefit?
Yeah.
If there wasn't some benefit to help you, logically, it doesn't make sense.
Yes.
And of course, I'm saying what a lot of people think. On the Republican side, I don't in front of me have any evidence for that.
Yeah.
Meaning I don't have any evidence that Democrats are voting twice as much that are dead than Republicans.
Right.
Or anything like that. But it just you don't see you don't hardly see many Republicans doing the same thing that she's doing.
Yeah. Right.
So. Yeah. It's and you can know that Stacey Abrams, in fact, she did, complained about the election that she lost, it was unfair and there was cheating going on.
Yeah.
But 2020, man, the most secure election ever in the history. You're stupid if you dare think that
right.
anything
right.
untoward went on there. Anyway, speaking of Democrat-appointed judges, did you hear that a judge in D.C. has dismissed three of the five civil complaints against former President Trump in connection with the death of Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick. The judge was Amit Mehta, and he also was an Obama appointee.
Okay.
And this relatives of Mr. Sicknick brought the suit. He was at the riot on January 6th. He was pepper sprayed, but he went home. He was fine when he went home. He had a stroke or two, and he died from that. Now, the coroner ruled that he died of natural causes, but that all that transpired on January 6th played a role in his condition. It maybe triggered a weakness.
Yeah.
It was already there. But Judge Amit Mehta has dismissed three of the five civil counts. This is the civil counts. This isn't his.
So the family.
Yeah.
I was just going to ask. So the family of Officer Sicknick and sued in civil court
wanting damages
from Donald Trump
and two others.
Okay.
Yeah. So little bit of an untangling of a legal mess, but he's got a lot more to go through.
Well, sad, tragic, and unfortunate everything that unfolded on January the 6th. Capitol Police Officer?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So he died the next day?
Yes.
Of a stroke.
Yes.
And his family tried to sue who?
Donald Trump and two other of the rioters. Now, I'm not sure if the January 6th rioters, Julian Catter and George Tanyos, I don't know if their charges were dismissed as well. They actually pepper-sprayed the guy, but
okay,
President Trump's was.
Yeah, so it was dismissed. You can't make a connection there legally. Over a health issue that could have happened another day,
right?
Where the Capitol policeman unfortunately passed away from a stroke, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Okay. However, if that's my family member, I'm ticked.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm angry because I'm saying to myself, you know what? My father, my brother died. He was pepper sprayed on the Capitol steps trying to do his job, and it caused him a lot of stress, and he had a stroke as a result the next day. And so I hold the people who did this to him responsible for it. That's how most people would feel if it happened to their father or their brother or their cousin or something like that. But you can't draw a, I don't think, and this is what the judge found, right? It was Obama judge?
It was an Obama judge, yes.
Yeah, the Obama judge said you can't, we can't prove one way or another that the man died as a result of what happened on the day before at the Capitol. He may have had a stroke anyway, you know. So you see what I'm saying?
Right.
So I see both sides to that.
But now, gunshot wounds are a direct result of COVID deaths, though.
Well, that's true.
So that does happen. It can't, you know.
Oh, you're talking about people who died of gunshot wounds and then during COVID, and then the hospital would mark them died of COVID?
Right.
Yeah.
It can't happen. It can't. It's out there. You gotta be careful now.
It's right there on the death certificate. You died of COVID.
Those lines can be connected.
COVID, yes. Lead poisoning.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Next story, Steve.
All right. One of the largest journalistic enterprises is the Associated Press. It is, they say, Associated Press anyway, says that it is seen or read by several billion people a day. Its news accounts. Well, we have found out Free Beacon is reporting that there are activist groups that have been funding the AP, sending money to the Associated Press, hoping to transform their coverage of global warming in one case, and there's other issues as well that other groups are trying to buy their way into the AP. But the AP is taking the money, and the AP's coverage has been dutifully noted as quite hysterical when it comes to climate change. So be careful what you listen to, folks, because...
Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tim.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, on our own news outlet, AFN, American Family News, AFN.net, we have to edit.
Oh, heavily edit.
Associated Press material.
Why do we use it in the first place?
Well, because there aren't a lot of news outlets where you can, in essence, rent right. their videos.
Basically a monopoly.
Yeah. It used to be UPI, I forget what that was, Press International.
We do use the Associated Press. UPI has been out of business for
right.
decades.
Well, Reuters is still around, but AP is the Reuters, most used, yeah. and it's more affordable.
We use their videos yeah. for stories, their video news stories.
And their
written news stories, but we edit them. We yeah. edit the bias.
I want to talk about the alligator, Steve. Go.
All right.
Do we have time for that?
We have time for it.
We can do this. So, by the way, let me find this. Do you guys know what?
No, we don't.
This guy's name is Fred Boyce, and he's a seasoned herpetologist.
That's snakes.
Herpetologist.
Yeah. Right. Herpetologist. Anyway, it's reptiles. He has been, this is a viral video that happened in 2012, but it just now resurfaced. This guy decided to wrestle an alligator, almost lost his arm down in Florida. 250-pound alligator. He goes and throws a jacket over the gator's eyes, gets down and tries to wrestle it. Gator was having none of it, threw him, bit his arm. Almost bit it off.
Yeah.
I mean, they call it a near-death experience. Yikes.
I saw that video. But he had like a towel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to take on a 250-pound alligator.
And that thing was huge. My understanding is that the tail of an alligator can break your leg. Yeah.
What's the fella's name?
Fred Boyce.
I'm going to rename him.
Yeah?
Fred, hold my beer, boy.
That's right.
There we go.
Listen, I'm glad he wasn't seriously hurt,
yes.
right?
Yes, I mean, he was not.
But that's not a smart move right there. That's wrestling an alligator.
That's the kind of thing where I would tell my kids when they were growing up, let that be a lesson to you.
There you go.
Learn from that right. guy's idiocy.
Have a great day, everybody. Keep listening to American Family Radio. We will see you back here tomorrow.